Our connection this hour will be made when professional athletes get back on the court or the field with a baseball diamond. This week, NBA star LeBron James tweeted that players are hoping to find a way to hold the league playoffs this season, even if it means no fans in attendance. Before the worldwide shutdowns in March, European soccer leagues were playing in empty stadiums. Major League Baseball is close to a plan that would involve the opening of the season in July or the end of June, with few fans or none in attendance, and teams playing in 10-team divisions based on geographic proximity. Meanwhile, the NFL is taking all of this in, trying to find the most viable path to opening in late summer as usual. If you consider golf or NASCAR sports, they're also working on plans with or without fans. I'm mostly kidding. Sure, those are sports. Tennis, too. They're all thinking about this. What about minor league sports, like the Rochester Red Wings? Can we hold out hope that they might play some games? If sports happen with reduced or no crowds, it's going to look and feel different. And I, for one, am in favor of all kinds of interesting ways of doing this. We ought to pipe in crowd noise like a laugh track. Let's do it. Everything is on the table during a pandemic, and our guests this hour are here to debate it. James Brown, WXXI reporter. This is your best assignment yet, James. You were made for this conversation. Thanks for being with us, my friend.
Pumped to be here.
Toby Motika is a former 13 Wham sports anchor, one of the best. Welcome, Toby.
Hey, appreciate it. Good to be back, Evan.
Alexa Ross is a WROC-TV sports reporter. Alexa, welcome. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
And great to have you. And Dan Mason is the general manager of the Rochester Red Wings. You know, I look across at this empty Frontier Field, and I'm thinking of you, Dan. How are you hanging in there?
We're doing all right, Evan. It's definitely a weird time of year. You know, usually this is when we're going nuts with the season, but now we're kind of going nuts for a different reason.
Yeah. So, Dan, you know, I'm going to start with you, and I'll let you either make a little news if you want or kind of tell us a little bit about where you see things. And then I hope for the rest of this hour we can have a little fun and sort of envision what sports might be like, knowing that we all take this seriously. Nobody wants to increase infections. Nobody wants to see an outbreak gets worse here. So, you know, with that backdrop in mind, we're going to have this conversation. But let's start with what's going on with the Wings. What is the realistic hope that you're going to see games played at Frontier Field in front of people this season, Dan?
Well, I would say that we're still optimistic because nobody has told us that we're not going to have that happen. You know, certainly, you know, the way I look at it, this is our seventh week of quarantine, and it feels like the seventh month. And I look back and see all that has happened in the last 7 weeks. It's pretty remarkable. So we're holding out hope that that positive news, continues to, that we get a little more positive news every day, and that, maybe there's a chance of playing some games here in July or August or even September. I think that's one of the things that's a possibility, as you mentioned before. There's so many different things being tossed around, and everybody's trying to come up with different creative solutions, and that's one of the things that we're hoping, is that maybe we get some games added on in September, which is normally, our season's over by Labor Day. So, for now, our fingers are crossed, and we remain hopeful and optimistic, and we'll see what happens.
Dan, is this a situation where you can – at least envision, and I know with everything on the table, you can probably envision just about anything, but is it realistic to think that if there are games at Frontier Field this season, and if there are fans allowed, there will be sort of seating and spacing requirements to spread it out, maybe not pack the house, or is that too early to say?
I think it's too early to say, but, if I had to say right now what's our best possibility of this year, then it might be something where we would have a reduced capacity at the ballpark. And, we've got room for 11,000 people here. So, it might be a situation where we may have to limit that to, whatever, pick a number, 3,000 or 1,500 or 2,000. But again, we just, it's too early for us to tell. And obviously we won't be able to do anything until the state and the county and the city and, health officials tell us, hey, this is what you can do, and this is how many people you're allowed to have, and these are the other precautions that you're going to need to take in order to open the gates at Frontier Field.
Dan, I don't know anybody more creative than you in the world of sports at bringing in fans, entertaining people, understanding you got to put a good product on the field, but also understanding that in minor league sports, it's about the experience, it's about family, it's about a lot of those things that you do so well. And so I just have one more question in this regard here. Earlier this week, we talked to restaurant owners and managers who explained that in a good time, the margin is really thin. You know, in other words, restaurants are always on the edge, even when times are good.
Right.
So if restaurants are told you can reopen, but with 50% capacity or 30% capacity, they may not be able to have the revenue to survive. I'm not comparing minor league baseball directly to restaurants, but I know that you guys do your darndest to bring people in, to make sure that you're on the right side of the ledger. Are you worried that if you get the green light, but there are limitations on capacity, that you know, that it's going to be hard to pay bills?
No doubt about it. You know, it's, you know, the fact that, you know, we're probably staring at missing 2/5 of our season at least, right? I mean, we're not going to, doesn't look as if we'll be able to play anytime in May. And, you know, typically we play April through Labor Day, and those 72 or 70 days that we're home, those are the 70 opportunities that we have to make revenue to last us for 365 days a year. So, you know, every game that we lose, you know, makes it harder and harder for us to do business and, you know, the way that we're accustomed to. So, no doubt it'll be tough, but, you know, as you mentioned before, this is something I think everybody, literally every business is going through some kind of issue with this, and we're no exception, and we're hoping for the best, and you know, we'll get as creative as we can when we're allowed to do so, but you know, right now we're all just kind of in a wait and see mode.
I hate to do this, but is there a worst case scenario in your mind?
Well, I mean, the worst case scenario would be if somebody told me there's, you know, you're not playing this year, and they said that right now. So I think right now, at least we have some hope of welcoming our fans back to Frontier Field at some point this season, but we just don't know right now. But, you know, it's certainly something that as an industry, we've never gone through, and as a world, we've never gone through. So, you know, it stinks for us right now and for baseball and for our fans, but, you know, there's a lot of people going through, you know, worse hardships than us right now, and we feel for them, and we're looking forward to being a part of the healing process. You know, I think sports are going to play a huge role in that healing process, getting our country back to some sorts of normalcy. And I can think of, you know, after 9/11, when our country was just in, you know, a tremendous kind of funk, you know, afterwards, and when President Bush walked out to the mound and threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium at the first sporting event after 9/11, it kind of rejuvenated our entire country. And it was kind of a, hey, let's go moment, you know, and we're looking forward to welcoming our fans back here whenever we're told that we can do so. And we know people can't wait to get back here.
So let's take a look at where the state of sports are, and then we're going to bring in all of our guests, including Dan, to kind of to kick around what we can reasonably hope for here as fans, too. Producer Megan Mack hands me a note that says, high school sports, you might have heard Governor Cuomo today saying no school for the rest of the school calendar year. Again, that's not a surprise, but in accordance with that, the New York State Public High School Athletic Association's 11 member sections have canceled all remaining spring sports. So it's tough for those athletes, and we feel for you. We know how much you've put into this. You know, really feeling for the athletes. Sections 8 and 11 canceled their regular spring seasons on April 21st. And at present, 43 other state high school associations have canceled their sports seasons in similar fashions. On the major league sporting levels, Major League Baseball this week is kicking around this plan that by the end of June or the first week of July, we could see games start and not played in sort of quarantine, played in home stadiums, but instead of an American and National League, 3 10-team divisions based on geography. So you would see both Chicago's, St. Louis, Kansas City, Milwaukee, Detroit, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, that kind of a thing. East Coast and then West Coast. Meaning that you don't have to travel that far, you know, between, and, you know, probably no fans, maybe minimal fans in attendance. That would be the idea. interestingly enough, NBA's commissioner Adam Silver responded to some of the players this week saying, hey, we want to do the playoffs. Last night, the NBA issued a memo advising teams not to arrange coronavirus testing for asymptomatic players and staff. And the memo says, quote, for the time being, it is not appropriate in the current public health environment to regularly test all players and staff for the virus. And ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reported last night that the NBA expects it would need in the neighborhood of 15,000 tests to complete its season and playoffs if they want to resume play. But again, Silver saying we need 15,000 tests and we need to make sure we're not taking them away from people who would need them otherwise. It would testing would have to be a luxury. So it looks like maybe not anytime soon for the NBA. And the NFL is kind of waiting back to see what other people do. They've got a little bit more time to decide here. James Brown, what's realistic in your mind as a fan to hope for?
I think it's pretty clear that there will be games. I think they'll probably be empty. I can't imagine, especially that Major League Baseball plan, I can't imagine that the governor, Governor Cuomo, would allow games at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all, especially with players moving in and out of the state, even on in an East Coast location. That doesn't make any sense. But I think what's more likely is we'll see games on TV. And I think it's strange, but the weird Florida plans that I've seen also from Major League Baseball, where you move all the teams down there, I think that seemed more plausible with that governor than the idea of regional teams in a weird regional configuration.
Toby Motika, what do you think is reasonable to hope for?
You know, I think the baseball plan could possibly happen, but again, they it's going to rely a lot on testing. Adam Silver making the call to wait on tests until it's more of a luxury. You remember the NBA took a lot of heat because pretty much every basketball player was getting a test early. So he's clearly responding and saying, this time around, we're going to do this a little differently.
I thought that was the right thing to do, by the way, that statement last
Agreed. No, I agree. Fully agree. So baseball is going to need something similar. You know, if it's a contact sport, it's a very light contact, but you still have things changing hands all the time, dugouts, different areas, so you're still going to have to test people a lot. So it is tough for me to imagine it before we get to that point. First thing we're going to have coming up is those NASCAR races next month, or actually this month, because it's now May. I've lost track of time.
Yes, exactly.
Knows.
We all have.
Exactly. But so I'm curious to see how that goes. It's going to be very, very strange. But you know, sports are a distraction from our everyday lives pre-COVID-19. So anything that people can get, I think they should do their darndest to get it to them.
Okay, Alexa Ross, what do you think?
You know, I think we can take a look at what's going on in the CBPL in Taiwan. They are playing games without fans in-house, which I know seems like this weird apocalyptic thing that could happen, but I think that it really could be a reality. We need that distraction. We've all mentioned that distraction. Sports have provided such a really beautiful escape from real life for a lot of people for a lot of years. And I think that in a time like this, when COVID-19 is really the only thing that anybody's been talking about for the past 7 weeks, I think that it's something that we really do need to seriously consider, whether that means, you know, the pumping in of crowd noise or just making sure that things are televised and TV crews are working in a really respectable, appropriately distant space. I think that it is really something that they should look into doing, but I think it's going to come down to the decisions made by the NBA and the NHL first. The NHL is looking into opening phase two of restarting the season, which just means having players come into training facilities. So that's really going to be, I think, the telltale sign of how baseball happens, is to see if the seasons that were suspended are picked up again.
I forgot to mention the NHL. See, the Sabres are never in the playoff hunt, so I wasn't thinking about them. I want to pick up Alexa's point here, though, because I think this is weirdly important. I grew up as a guy who, I'm going to out myself here, I used to tape Cleveland Cavaliers basketball games off the radio and study the call of Joe Tate. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I used to love what the PA announcers could bring to, because it was all about the atmosphere. And what Alexa's describing that's already happening in other places, and we started to see happening in Europe before the shutdown, in European football, soccer leagues, was games without fans. Now, there's two reasons that I support what Alexa just mentioned, bringing in, piping in crowd noise. Number one, if you don't and it's silent, you're going to have the longest delays ever because you're going to have endless profanity. I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know if we're ready to hear what the players actually say when there's no crowds to drown them out. But the other reason is what Alexa talked about is just that atmosphere that we're used to. This is what sports are supposed to sound like. This is what football is supposed to sound like.
Baker takes the snap. Second and four. Rolls right. Throws down the middle. And Joku's got it. He's at the 40. 45, 50. He's at the 45, 40. 35, 30. 25, 20. 50, 10. 5. Down at the 2-yard line. David Njoku, big man on the loose.
And this is what basketball is supposed to sound like.
6 seconds left. Elo looks. Elo into Nance. Back to Elo. He drives. He scores! Elo drove it right down the wing and scores! 199 with 3 seconds to play.
Could you hear 10-year-old me's voice cheering in the background? Don't ask me what happened in the last 3 seconds. Do not ask. This is what baseball is supposed to sound like.
Trail it 4-1. The set by Perez. The pitch. Swung on! Hit high! Hit deep to right! This ball! Gone!
All right, so let's vote. Those are all Cleveland sports, by the way. I could do this all day. let's vote here. Pipe in crowd noise because that's what it's supposed to sound like, yes or no. I'm going to vote yes. Dan Mason, where are you on this? I'm going to be the only yes. I'm going to be the only yes. I know it.
I think as stuff starts to open up without fans, I think different organizations are going to get creative in creating ambiance for the players and for the fans that are watching at home. And I look forward to seeing what people come up with. I know I've got a couple buddies that are playing and coaching in Taiwan right now, and they actually have they put mannequins out in the stands, as what? Well as one team has robots that actually plays drums, and that hasn't gone over real big with the players, I will say that. But I could see teams putting faces on seats, maybe of, you know, celebrities or just regular people. And, you know, I look forward to seeing what kind of reaction the players have. But I don't know about piping in crowd noise to the actual
like a laugh track. Games. Come on, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe on the broadcasts themselves, but I don't know about playing it over the PA system.
I got
for
you.
The players.
I got you. Okay.
You know? We'll see.
I take the point there. Alexa Ross, where are you on that?
Listen, I think that I'm going to take the same stance on how I feel about laugh tracks. I think it's tacky. So I don't foresee it being a great idea. You also have to forgive me because I'm going to very much age myself as the youngest person in this conversation. It's very 90s sitcom to laugh track, and I feel like it just puts a weird taste in people's mouths, and I feel like that might just continue through into what we have on these broadcasts. But, I mean, what I was thinking about it and thinking about when the NCAA first announced before they canceled March Madness that they'd play without crowds, I mean, you have a decent amount of crowd noise that comes off in a place where you're playing in an enclosed space. You have the sound of rubber on the hardwood. You hear the sound of a ball. You have these kinds of things that with proper miking can be amplified. I think that it might just take a really creative look at audio engineering to get some of the noises that we love to hear either in person or on a broadcast that don't involve other people's voices.
Okay, Toby Motika.
Before I give you my vote, I just have to comment that the best highlight you could find from the Browns was your now backup tight end getting tackled at the 2. So I just have to comment on that really quick.
Hold on a second. Rob Braden or is that Megan Mack who just actually pulled in the laugh track? Wow. Now that is production value. Toby got a laugh
nice
track
going.
Laugh. And, well, and yes, that is the best Browns highlight I could find.
Congratulations. It's going to be a great, great season.
It is.
Look, I actually am for it. Part of it is going to be because the comedic value should be pretty high. But honestly, some teams, just like anything, some teams are going to be better at this than others. So you're going to have some teams that just kind of go halfway, and it's blatantly obvious that they're using this pre-recorded thing where the volume level almost never adjusts, and it's just this flat roar. But there will be other teams who really kind of get it, and the TV crews can do more close shots and less of these sky cams, and you might actually be able to recreate the feel, because if people are only watching from home, then as weird as it might feel if you're in person, if you can somehow make it feel like the real thing to the audience at home, then I think it would be worth it. But some teams are going to be awful at it, and that will be hilarious.
Well, I think that's the point Dan was making. Maybe every franchise is going to have to rely on their own creativity, and we're going to see a kind of a hybrid approach. And the Dan Masons of the world are going to stand out, and those who are not are going to be sort of mockable. We're going to laugh at all of this. That's what we have to do. James Brown, are you going to vote yes or no on piping and crowd noise?
Before I vote, Craig Elo?
Craig,
come on, man. No LeBron?
No, hold on a second. Craig Elo.
LeBron won a title.
Do you know what kind of week Craig Elo's had? He just had Ron Harper on national TV in this Jordan documentary, really, I think, unfairly ripping him, because Elo, of course, was the contest on Jordan's shot that everyone's seen all week because everyone's been watching this documentary. And it was Elo who scored what would have been the game-winning basket right before then. Michael Jordan hung in the air for, I don't know, a minute and a half before he released that ball, and it was a good contest, and Ron Harper wasn't blocking that shot either. That's all I'm saying. So I wanted to give Craig Elo some love. By the way, I had a dog named Elo growing up. We did. We had a dog named Elo.
Wow. Dedication.
Yes.
I'm with Dan, and that's exactly why we can't allow it. We can't allow it because we can't trust these teams. There'll be shenanigans. You'd have some teams screwing with the sound on their opponents.
Oh, yes.
I would not trust Bill Belichick with control of sound in a football stadium. I wouldn't. Absolutely not. Like, I can't, unless it was controlled by a third party, maybe the league, I could not turn it over to any individual franchise.
That's actually a really interesting point, James, that I had not thought about, the possible shenanigans there. Maybe the laugh track, if there's like a butt fumble, there would be a laugh track, you know. So there's all kinds of possibilities. Let me ask a little bit more serious question, and I'll start with Dan on this. There will eventually be more conversation about whether we can create kind of a temporary society where people who have been infected and have been cleared, and I know antibody testing has its own issues, maybe people who've had multiple different sourced antibody testing that indicates that, yes, they had the virus, and yes, they've recovered, assuming that there's some level of immunity, as Anthony Fauci says he would bet a lot of money on. You know, could we see sports leagues say, hey, if you're in that category, you can be in the crowd, and if you're not, you can't? I know some people say that privileges people who have been infected, or that might incentivize people to try to get infected, which we don't want to do. But there's not a perfect solution here that I can see, and I wonder if that's on the menu of possibilities as you see it, Dan Mason.
Oh, boy. I think all creative options are on the table right now to get our society back to some sense of normalcy, right? So I think that would have to be something that's dictated to us by somebody like Dr. Fauci or other.
The Dr. Mendoza of the world, sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm quite sure that before we will ever be able to open our gates, we're going to have conversations with Dr. Mendoza and the mayor and the county exec and Mr. Duffy and you know, we'll have to work with all of them to figure out what we can do and if we can do anything.
Okay. By the way, I think that's fair. I mean, I don't think that's a dodge at all. I think what you're saying is that's a decision that would probably come from policymakers and health departments and then maybe be applied.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Correct. And that's one of the things that makes it tough for sports leagues, I think, to possibly welcome fans back, is because some markets are going to be open sooner than others. You know, even in our league, in the International League, We've got 14 teams, and we've got a variety of different states represented. You know, we've got Georgia, we've got Kentucky, we've got Indiana, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Virginia, so North Carolina. So, you know, the policies in each of those states is going to be vastly different, and, you know, the timing of when each of those states will be open and their respective cities when they'll be open is another challenge.
Let me get some listener feedback here, and I'm going to get Randy in Rochester first on the phone. Go ahead, Randy.
How you doing, Evan? First-time caller.
Oh, thanks.
Great to hear you. Great to hear your show again. You know, I was just, you know, I'm a clergyman, actually, and I just wanted to sort of draw a parallel that we're thinking about these exact same issues in terms of how to get bring people back into, like, houses of worship and things like that. And one of the, you know, there's all kinds of ideas on the table. I was struck by the similarity of this last call in terms of selecting who can come and who can't come. And it's a very tricky topic by saying, you know, basically we're saying, you know, if you're over a certain age or if you're in an at-risk category, you can't be there. If you are, you know, like possibly if you've, you know, already been exposed at some point, you know, you could be back in. But in terms of solutions, interesting to see that we're talking about maybe bringing people in like waves, putting them in different rooms, and I wonder how that could work in a ballpark. Like just the idea that a limited groups of fans in different places in a stadium. That the stadium could be a place to go. Maybe you're allowed to go in the bar on the perimeter. Maybe you're allowed to, you know, in a relatively small group, and that's the only place you're allowed to go. Will people want to go to experience? Will people want to go to the ballpark to experience that? It's a lot of questions.
Yeah, Randy. Before I let you go, do you have any issue as a member of clergy? Do you have any issue with this idea that certain members of society may be encouraged to attend houses of worship and certain would not? I mean, no one feels comfortable about that. But do you think that goes too far?
Because ultimately, we're trying to keep people safe, and that's obviously a big mission for any religious organization. You want to keep your own members safe, first of all. Whether or not that applies in sports, like do sports teams have an obligation? I mean, it's a question that we toss around. Do we have an obligation, actually? And that's the real question. Do we have an obligation as an organization to keep people safe sort of from themselves and each other? Or is it an issue, will we get to a point? I think we're not there now. I think we all know that. Will we get to a point where we're going to throw our hands up and just say, okay, you know what? Come at your own risk. Be here at your own risk. Understand that anyone who's here is we're not monitoring as an organization. Have we done what we can?
Mm-hmm.
I think as a religious organization, we have a different onus to our congregants than maybe a sports team does. But a sports team maybe has some obligations to their fans as well.
Would you go to a baseball?
No doubt.
You got to be an Indians fan, right, Randy?
How'd you guess? How'd you know that?
Because your phone comes up as from Ohio, so I was hopeful. I know your family. I know your family. I know that you are a smart baseball fan. Would you go to a game right now if they said, you know what, we can't guarantee safety, but we're going to play? Would you go right now?
Oh boy, I mean, right now I would say I wouldn't because I still think we may be a month away from being able to. I think another month of doing what we're doing would probably do a lot of good. That's my sense of things, and that seems to be what smart government officials are leaning toward, saying, "Hey, you know, let's see the big picture." But in another month, I would consider. I mean, if it's an outdoor game and there's a place I could kind of sit and feel like would I be comfortable sitting in the fan, sitting in a packed bleachers with the bleacher crowd in Progressive Field? I'm not sure. I suspect that even once people say we can go back to doing whatever it is we were doing, that there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to say, you know what? You know what? I don't need to do this. Or
I'm with you, but Randy, by the way, thank you. By the way, Randy's brother is one of the great baseball writers I've ever read, and I know the family. Randy is a member of a religious community and one of the leaders in the religious community here in Rochester. They're from Akron, and they're a great family. But let me ask our guests a little bit more about where Randy's going with this. There's a lot of questions. No one before pre-vaccine, we may never feel fully comfortable. I want to be careful with what I say here, but I am basing this on a lot of reading and understanding of how viruses spread. There is a difference between an indoor venue than an outdoor venue. Doesn't mean you can't get sick and can't spread it in an outdoor setting, but there is a difference. And we know that, there's going to be a move to treat these kind of venues very differently, or at least understand the indoor ventilation systems. Whereas when you're outdoors, again, the risk of transmission is there, but it is lower. Do you have any optimism, Dan Mason, that because of that, if we see sports come back, it may be outdoor settings before indoor? Is that possible?
Yeah, I would say that that's possible. But you know, again, I'm not a scientist or even close to being smart enough to be a scientist. So, but I would say that, you know, just, based on what I've heard, the same things that you have, I would think that outdoor venues have a better chance, mm-hmm. and at least people would feel a little safer. But I also want to just jump in and address what Randy, your caller, had suggested. And we absolutely do have an obligation to our community, you know, and again, we would not do anything that would put our fans, our employees, our coaches, our players, anybody in jeopardy. And again, we would not be able to open the gates until let's say Dr. Mendoza says, okay, you can do this, but you can only have X amount of people at the games, and you have to do this, this, and this to make sure that things are being disinfected and so on and so forth. So, we absolutely, though, have an obligation to play our part to keep our community safe.
Okay. One of our emailers says, how about live streaming fans from home and rotating and putting them up on the Jumbotron screens? That could be fun during games. Maybe. Another listener suggests that you try to build crowd noise by taking a combined sample of thousands of people watching at home. I don't know if that's possible, and I don't know if you guys have seen, I'll start with you, Alexa, SNL came back, and their first weekend update, they kind of had their staff watching via Zoom, and so you could hear the staff laughing, and it kind of landed with a thud that didn't really work, and they ditched it for their second show. I don't know. Do we want fans at home piped onto either Jumbotrons or into the games anyway, Alexa? I sort of don't want that.
I'm sort of getting the vibe of fans zooming in and booing Goodell during the draft. That's what this conversation is evoking for me. And I think that might have been the only way that worked.
Yes,
because
that's a good point.
You don't have a draft without Goodell getting booed. And I know personally, me just booing at my TV definitely didn't do anything for him. It definitely did when I could do it in person. But with that aside, I don't know. I understand the thought process behind that and why that could work. I think at that point it just gets distracting, and I think that was the biggest critique on the SNL weekend update Zoom call situation. I think that was their biggest qualm with it, was the distraction. And yeah, crowd noise is inherently distracting, as all noises are, but I think if it's just, you know, a handful of people versus a dull roar, the dull roar you can kind of tune out and get used to, as opposed to the one guy who's like, you suck, that you can very distinctly hear.
Hey, listen, I grew up going to Cleveland Municipal Stadiums. I could have talked to Gary Gaetti all day if he would have listened to me, because he would have heard me. And I'm not sure we want that. Down our last couple of minutes, James Brown, are we getting ahead of ourselves, or, you know, do you think this kind of conversation really could go in a direction of seeing sports this year? Do you expect to see sports this year, James? It sounds like you do.
I definitely do. I think the financial motive is too strong. There are billions of dollars at stake for the NBA and all these leagues. And I think they will find a way to do it. But I can't see any possible way that fans are involved.
Pre-vaccine, you mean?
Pre-vaccine, absolutely. I think liability is one concern that I don't think anyone's really talked about. If somebody went to the sports stadium, even if it's at a quarter capacity and they caught it, there would be legal trouble pre-vaccine.
Yeah, unless there's waivers, that kind of a thing. But I think that's a really wise point there, because if they're not making fans sign waivers, then you know, could there eventually? I don't know. How do you prove where you contracted something? It's not easy. But I think James is making a really important point, which just highlights how complex this is. Trying to do this pre-vaccine is absolutely complex. Toby, do you expect to actually see it happen this year?
I'm sort of with James here, is that I certainly expect to see the games themselves being played to a certain extent. I don't know if there's going to be anybody there. I think one of the biggest issues with people there is beyond just picking who can come with or without immunity to the virus, potential immunity to the virus, even if you're just limiting an NFL game to 20,000 fans and you have 10, 20,000 more season ticket holders, how are you dividing these games up? How are you figuring out who can come just from that standpoint too? It's going to be a really, really difficult plank for these guys to walk.
Well, listen, I know that the people involved in professional sports take it very seriously. And Dan Mason, general manager of the Red Wings, I know you're working hard for this community. And let me just say, we appreciate all the considerations, and we do hope to see you as soon as it's safe.
Amen. Can't wait to welcome everybody in our community back to Frontier Field.
Dan Mason. Alexa Ross, we'll see you on WROC-TV. Thanks for joining us this hour.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Toby Motika, former 13 Wham sports anchor. Always fun, my friend.
Yeah, appreciate it, Evan. Take care.
James Brown, I know I'll see you, whether I want to or not.
Definitely.
But I do want to. Thank you, James. Thank you, JB.
See,
look at that.
Evan.
We got the laugh track, baby. The laugh track. Crowd noise. More connections coming up.